This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
At Ari Wasserman on Twitter. Hello, Ari.
Hey, guys. I thought you forgot about me. It's been a while.
Well, when's the last time we had a chance to talk about Ohio State football or college football for in general, for that matter? We've been talking about the Browns.
I mean, you guys are in Ohio. You should be talking about it every day.
Oh, really? What is there to say?
Yeah,
oh,
I just well, Ohio... I just became your programmer.
Wow, look
your
at
producer.
You.
Your producer.
I mean, what's there been left to say over the last how many years other than, whoa, is Ohio State going to win every game or are they going to win all but one game? 216-578-009. Now, but now there's heat. Now there's 9.5. $1 million for Ryan Day, and now I think there's an expectation. You have a bunch of big time boosters. You have a bunch of NIL money that is at your disposal. You're in a big time city like Columbus. Is it reasonable to make Ryan Day guarantee a national championship between now and the next 3 seasons?
That's funny because the way you said that, like now there's expectations, like that wasn't the case before.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying.
I think that what is probably the way I would put it is that they are in a very critical spot in their program right now, having just lost to Michigan and missed the playoff with what probably should have been a very good team. You know, heading into a year where recruiting nationally is going to be a little bit harder for a variety of different reasons. And, you know, you have a quarterback like C.J. Stroud that's coming back, but a lot of defensive quality. It's just like, is Ohio State going to miss the playoff for 2 years in a row? And like, what does that mean for the modern iteration of the program? You know, and you know, the extensions and stuff, people like to, you know, kind of freak out about those or think it means something. It's just the way things are done right now in college football. You got to extend your coach. And, you know, Ryan Day, I think, has done enough in his beginning portion of his Ohio State tenure to earn that. So, but I do wonder if things continue to stay kind of status quo or they're a very good football team but not a great one, like how many years people are going to tolerate it. And, you know, now it's just kind of like a very critical point where Ohio State needs to at least make the playoff in this next year and fix its defense because they have too many good players and too much resources and money, as you mentioned, tied up in this thing to not be making the playoff, especially, you know, losing to two teams, in my opinion, that weren't as good as them last year. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it. And expectations are always through the roof. And, you know, I don't know that the contract extension or the NIL stuff changes it. I think just the expectation is to win a national title. And, you know, frankly speaking, if you would have told me in 2014 when we were on the field in Dallas after they won their last national title that they would go 8 years without winning it and miss the playoff half those years, I would have laughed in your face. So, you know, it is in my opinion, one of the more underachieving programs in America in comparison to what they could achieve with what they've made. So, you know, I rambled a little bit there, but that's kind of where I'm at with it.
All right, Wasserman with us on the hotline. I tweeted yesterday the few reasons that college coaches tend to get extended. One of those, reward for meeting or exceeding expectations. Another was a two-parter, to reassure recruits and assistants that you're not going anywhere and to lessen the clear and present flight risk to another program or maybe to the NFL in this case. And same thing for college basketball. So the timing of this, how could it best be explained?
I think it could just best be explained that he needed to get a few more years on the end of his schedule or on the end of his on the end of his contract. I think Ryan Day is going to be a natural candidate for NFL openings for the foreseeable future.
especially considering, and I'm no NFL expert, but considering how the NFL has kind of gravitated towards the young offensive-minded head coaches and the Sean McVay type, you know, scenario there. So what Ohio State wants to do is show their employee that they're grateful for him while they can without an offer, and hopefully it, it helps put them in a position to keep him, retain him when he inevitably gets other offers. So, you know, it's a very, like I said, critical juncture for Ryan Day right now to make sure that, you know, they continue on the upward trajectory or get back on the upward trajectory, because, you know, being a coaching candidate in the NFL or other coach means you, you did really well. And last year, I think he'd probably be the first to tell you that they didn't do that good. So definitely a lot of, I think this is one of the more interesting Ohio State seasons that we've had, you know, in terms of, well, are they going to win every game? You know, like what you guys were joking about at the beginning of the show, just like I think that, you know, what this team is this year is a very good window into what Ohio State's going to be, because, you know, there is a faction of people who look at this program as, for the first few years that Ryan Day was leading it, as the leftovers that Urban Meyer built. And now we're getting into the years where this is a completely Ryan Day enterprise. And can't they continue to match some of the success they had under the Urban Meyer era or even exceed it, I think is a very important distinction to make.
I know you're a football guy, but you are an Ohio State guy. Let me ask you about Chris Holtmann. What did you think of that extension?
You know, I don't know if I'm the most amazing person to ask that question for. I don't know about, like, the thing that I don't understand about Ohio State basketball is, and in my beginning of my career, I covered Ohio State basketball during the Thad Matta eras and went to multiple Final Fours and, you know, saw the Jared Sullinger years. I remember what Ohio State basketball looked like back in the day when things were really, really good. I don't know what the reasonable expectations are for that basketball program. Is making the tournament enough for Ohio State basketball fans? Because if it is, then it makes sense. But it seems to me that Ohio State has lacked a superstar player. And maybe that's kind of stupid with some of the guys they had on the team this past year, and, you know, maybe one of them being a first-round draft pick. But it's just like they haven't had a Jared Sullinger or a D'Angelo Russell or some of those guys that were on those 2012, 13, 14 teams. And, you know, the extension is, I believe that Chris Holtmann is a good coach. Don't get me wrong. I don't know if Ohio State is reaching its maximum potential as a basketball program or if the administration and Gene Smith thinks that what they're getting is enough. So that's kind of a complicated question. And I also don't think that Ohio State football fans care enough about basketball for it to be a real, real issue. And maybe that's part of the problem. But like, should they be making the Final Four once every 7 years, or should they just be a pretty good team that makes the NCAA tournament, maybe wins a game in the first round, advances once and, you know, makes it to 32. Like, maybe you guys can answer.
Yeah, Ari, you just kind of, I think you philosophically kind of answered it mm-hmm. with just your explanation. You wouldn't even have had to watch a game over the last 5 years of Chris Holtmann to answer the way that you just answered, because what you're basically saying is, well, if they extended him and they're cool with just making the tournament every year and the fact that they're not going to be an NIL player, I know that for a fact. Football, yes, at Ohio State, that's where all that money is going. It's not really going to basketball, so that would tell, I think, others that this is okay. This is where the program thinks it kind of belongs.
You know, and also, like, extending a coach doesn't always mean that that coach is the long-term solution. It just means that you're okay with what the coach is right now and you want to put your program in solid footing. I mean, if they want to fire the guy next year, they can fire him. You know, it's not like this is going to stop somebody from firing somebody. So, like, I think that the main question is, and you know, one of my best friends in the world covers them every day. So, you know, Bill Landis would probably be a better person to ask this to, but I just don't know, like, what Ohio State basketball thinks it should be. And I think once it kind of answers that question and makes it, like, because we know what Ohio State football wants to be. They want to be Alabama. They want to win national titles. They want to make the playoff every year. And we have a clear, distinct understanding of whether or not they're reaching their potential and their goals. With Ohio State, like, I don't even know with their basketball team, like, was this a good year or a bad year? And I think that when that there's that ambiguity there, it kind of makes it harder to define what you expect out of your head coach.
All right, Ari, I'm looking at Texas A&M, and we know what Nick Saban, we played some of the audio about him saying that they basically threw NIL. They just they paid every single player that they got. He said he's not going to do that. I mean, you can insert your jokes about what Alabama players may or may not have gotten over the last however many years. But one thing is clear is that you can, through NIL money, you can buy yourself recruiting classes. Texas A&M.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, if you looked at the past 15 years and where they finish every year, it's basically in the 20s. So you had a team that's probably in the lower teens, or the higher teens, I should say, or the 20s historically over the last however many years, and yet one of the best recruiting classes. And as long as they're willing to shell out that much money, they'll continue to get these recruiting classes. So what does it tell us about NIL right now?
Well, everyone's going to catch up, man. Like, I mean, I think that like everything right now is in transition, and you have certain teams that theoretically are out in front of it and have some deep pockets that can have classes like this. But like, if this is a proven method of getting the number one overall class and one of the best classes ever signed, then you don't think there's other programs that are desperate enough to open up the pocketbook to compete for that. Like, so like when I saw Nick, and I have to write a column about this today, and I'm still kind of trying to formulate my thoughts on it. But like, if paying players is legal, why is that a bad thing? Like, it just makes Nick Saban sound like a crybaby to me. But then, two, like, Alabama probably had one of the higher-rating NIL drivers for current players last year, if I had to guess off the top of my head, especially with Bryce Young as quarterback. So the other thing you also have to think about, too, is that, like, going to Alabama, who finished number two in the recruiting rankings and signed more than 10 top 100 players, like, going to Alabama is compensation. It might not always be, like, in the form of the supposed NIL deals that the Texas A&M kids got, but like there's a inherent monetary value to playing for Saban, considering what he does with the NFL draft and how Alabama has consistently been the best program at converting five-star prospects into draft picks. So, you know, everything with NIL is frustrating to me because it's all hypothetical. Like, you can sit here on the radio all day and talk about how much A&M paid somebody, but there's no numbers there. We don't know how much they paid or what the deal was, and it's all private conversations and, you know, different things like that are not public information. So, like, everything with it is speculation. And anytime anybody says anything about somebody getting paid, everybody takes it as fact, and it's not always true. You think Quinn Ewers made $1 million at Ohio State? I bet my life he didn't.
I agree with you on that one, Ari.
Everybody uses.
I said that from day one. I thought that was totally inflated.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like everything is just like so like, oh, the world is changing and freak out, and this company is paying, or this organization is paying this much money for this recruit, and this guy's making $9 million a year, and it's all just screaming into the void. And if it's on Twitter, everybody just takes it as fact. So like, I'm not saying that Nick Saban's wrong. Clearly Texas A&M did something to go from a top middle tier program to signing the best recruiting class in history. But I also think too, that being the cool program and, you know, getting a few guys that can, you know, get in the ears of other guys and being located to Houston also takes a part of that. So, you know, this is all very challenging to break down because we're in year one of the NIL deal era. And like, I think that the market will set itself, things will calm down, we'll start getting more concrete numbers, but I don't like dealing in the world of like, everything out there is real. It's a Twitter storm of just misinformation and speculation. And like, until we have some real numbers of like what people are doing and what Alabama's doing, what A&M is doing, it's just kind of hard to really compare the two.
Ari Wasserman joining us on the show. Will you watch, if Urban Meyer goes back to Fox, will you watch him every week, or will you be one of the ones that go, no, he saw his name? No.
I don't know why people, you know, have such a strong opinion either way about it. I know that, you know, things didn't go really well in Jacksonville. And if you're an Ohio State fan, you might have some thoughts about the way that he handled his business there. But you know what pregame show I watch? And maybe this is a bad thing for me to say in this position, but I watch the pregame show that is leading into the game I want to watch. Like, I don't pick my pregame shows based on which personalities I like the most. You know, I think game day is what it is. It's fun. It's entertaining. It may get you in the mood for the games. I think that Fox has done a tremendous job with the big noon kickoff idea and having some of these big games at noon, which then, you know, kind of takes some of that audience away because you watch Fox as the lead into the game that you want to watch. But like, I don't know, Urban Meyer's legacy and Urban Meyer's employment potential in the future as a college coach, potentially again, I think is a very muddy waters. I don't even know if he's employable anymore from that standpoint. And kind of the way that he went about his business reportedly in Jacksonville kind of struck me as odd, and it didn't really ring true to the person that I knew when I was covering him at Ohio State. But like his legacy and the way to view him is probably one of the most complicated legacies I think I've ever come across in this industry at all.
Ari Wasserman. Find him on Twitter, at Ari Wasserman. He's one of our favorites. Ari, thank you for the time. We will be calling you again. I promise.
Okay, I felt left out a little bit, but I appreciate you having me back on.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you giving us your time. Thank you, my friend. Ari Wasserman on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yeah, I got a thought about Urban Meyer coming back to Fox when we come back. You got anything else over there?
Oh, no, I have plenty
of thoughts.
You
have another thought as well about NIL?
I do.
I don't want to just go land in planes, okay, talking about whales and God knows what. We ready? It's coming up next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.